In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Last week we heard the first part of Dr. Beverly Rubick's presentation about the physiological effects of 4G and potential 5G microwave radiation on humans. The presentation was held at the Union Theological Seminary in New York City. We listened to the second part of Dr. Rubick's presentation. Remember, whether you feel the effects or not, among the symptoms, human red blood cells will become sluggish in the body when exposed to non-thermal microwave radiation from sources such as smart meters, cell phones, and wireless routers. I suppose it's been determined this is the time to install cancer-causing microwave radiation antenna systems because our societies are very divided, distracted, weakened, and confused, and little to no resistance is expected. But when resistance does occur, you're likely not to hear about it from mainstream news and most alternative news sources. In the city of Kalamata, Greece, population 70,000, known for Kalamata olives, it was decided to suspend the pilot program of 5G wireless network because the citizens of Kalamata educated themselves about the negative health impacts. They protested the 5G pilot program and forced elected local politicians to suspend the program. Emphasis on elected politicians. But listen to this quote from the so-called objective writer of the article titled, "Kalamata City Suspends 5G Network Fearing Locals Will Become Infertile." Here it is. 16 out of 29 members of the city council adopted the unscientific, unfounded, xenophobic, and conspiracy theoretical claims that the 5G is a, quote, experiment using the Kalamata citizens as, quote, guinea pigs with the aim to, quote, sterilize them. Despite the proven biological impacts such as neurological and reproductive problems, corporate-owned bootlicking journalists will earn the hate by mocking a successful resistance. But this type of ridicule and mockery you would want to wear as a badge of honor. Dr. Martin Paul has explained in detail that inside our muscle, glial, and neuron cells, it appears as though the voltage-gated calcium channel is where the background EMF threshold needs to be set. Meanwhile, the FCC is preparing to auction off more than 10,000 upper microwave frequency licenses. These frequencies have never been tested for long-term safety. It's called Auction 103. It's worth your time investigating and then voice your opinion. The ECFS help desk is 202-418-0193 or email at ECFSHelp@FCC.gov. I'll put this up at inothernewsradio.com. We go now to hear the second part of Beverly Rubick's presentation. She earned her PhD in biophysics at the University of California in Berkeley and has conducted research for nearly 40 years on energy fields of living organisms termed biofields. She's an internationally recognized expert on the biofield and energy medicine and the author of more than 90 scientific papers and 2 books. She is an adjunct faculty member in the College of Integrative Health Studies at Saybrook University in Pasadena. We go now to hear the second part of that presentation.
So here is my 75-year-old subject, female. In baseline condition, her blood is a little bit sticky and maybe not ideal, but certainly still normal. And after 45 minutes of carrying the phone in the backpack on the right-hand side, you see the blood is all stuck together. The red blood cells are as if it's a roll of coins and I'm looking at the edge of the roll of nickels. So they're stacked. And this blood is Well, it simply can't circulate in the peripheral circulation of microcapillaries because the blood requires you to go single file with each cell through those microcapillaries. And so it simply would not circulate very well in any organ or tissue. It would get stuck. And it's what happens when you get older as well, is that the blood tends not to circulate so well. And after using the phone for an additional 45 minutes, this is the picture. Bottle cap shapes with spikes sticking out. These are called echinocytes in hematology. That's a spiky, like an echinoderm sea urchin. And again, in hematology, these would be signs of liver damage. These people were fasted for 4 hours, and already it was 6 hours later, so I couldn't keep them in my office to study, well, how long do these effects last? Unfortunately, because they were hungry, I had to send them out. And after they eat, then the blood gets full of fat and I can't see anything. So this was just an initial pilot study to look for an effect. Here's an example of another subject, male, 55, initially good-looking blood over here. After carrying the cell phone in a backpack, here is the appearance, sticky cells, not quite the rouleau, the rolls of coins that we saw in the earlier subject, but still much stickier. And then, after using the phone actively 45 minutes, all spiky echinocytes. So, in fact, such results were seen in 9 out of 10 subjects, but it was especially so in people 50 and up. The younger people did not show such pronounced effects. They did show effects, however. And especially following cell phone use. So it seems that the cells first aggregate and then they break apart and then they change shape. I suspect what Dr. Martin Paul says is the calcium is coming into the cells. The membranes are affected, as you can see. They're no longer integral. The cell shape has changed. So I should point out that these people were eating a fine diet and the Weston A. Price Foundation funded this study thinking that their diet would prevent cell phone effects, but in fact, it didn't. I don't think any diet is going to prevent this. If that diet doesn't do it, I don't know of a better diet, really. So I published this actually in the Weston A. Price Foundation Journal. It's called Wise Traditions in Food Farming and the Healing Arts, and you can read it online at www.westonaprice.org, where it's freely published. So we are energy beings. We are operating electromagnetically with electricity and magnetism in our bodies. This is part of life function. Brain waves, heart waves, blood, everything is charged in the body, charged proteins, DNA, etc. So why wouldn't they be susceptible to this radiation? They are. And we're susceptible to energy coming from other living beings, from the earth, the sun, and now from our technology. And it's the unnatural frequencies. First, the body tries to make such similar frequencies, tries to entrain to them. We know that this is how living things try to accommodate them. They try to actually make those rhythms. But no living analog being can make digital rhythms. So it becomes an aggravation. Here's an example of an electrosensitive person in effects on the biofield. I mentioned that I do a lot of work on the energy field of humans, and we develop equipment also to do this. But this is using a special device from Russia called the Gas Discharge Visualization Camera. Today in its form is called BioWell. And it's a camera similar to Kirlian photography that assesses the corona discharge from each fingertip and then pieces it together to form this composite field around the body. So this is really derived from all 10 fingers. And the Russians have looked to see what meridians are present in the fingertips that might relate to a certain organ pattern. And then they draw that connection and create this composite biofield. So this woman came in, she says, I can't use my computer anymore. It's a mess because I have a job where I must use my computer. I said, well, bring your notebook computer and let's see how things go. So initially she looked pretty good. She had not used her computer that day. She worked 1 hour at the computer in my laboratory, and this is the picture of her biofield. You can see that the energy has shrunk, is distorted. It's left-right imbalance. This is typically what I see from electrosensitive persons. But here's the biofield of a person who says, I'm not electrosensitive. I feel fine around these devices. They come in, they look like this with a much better biofield. It's more uniform, there's very few gaps. But after 30 minutes of wireless radiation, you can see a change already. The biofield is more fractalated and there are missing parts and irregularities. So that's the picture of chronic stress. And there's a software to analyze this in this program, which I'm not showing you here, but just visually, you get the picture that this is a stressor. And we know from many studies that organisms can take just so much stress. And stress accumulation is like the accumulation of raindrops in a rain barrel. You can only get so many drops in there, and then it overflows. And what happens when the stress overflows? We have breakdown, we have disease, we have symptoms. So that's what we're up against. In the environment, we see effects on plants. There's not so many experiments in the field, but there are experiments in laboratory studies on plants, only a few in the field. But what happens when the radiation is shined on tomato plants or other crops that we eat is, again, the same thing. We see more stress-related biochemicals in those tomatoes, as if it's starved for nutrients or lacking water or other stressors. So the stress chemistry then is in our produce, that which we're eating. Free radical chemistry, that's not healthy. We see collapses in the insect population, and especially the pollinators. We see that the orientation as well as the navigation of bees, other insects, birds, and mammals is challenged by this radiation. They don't go near cell phone towers. They left national parks in Australia where they put in Wi-Fi. And they're talking about putting it in the United States. They say, why should we deprive people? They should be connected wherever they go. Are they thinking about the animals and the fauna and flora? Seems like they're not. Then they found in experiments on microbes, on pathogenic microbes such as Listeria and pathogenic E. coli, the bad one that gets in the meat sometimes, growth stimulation of microbes and increased antibiotic resistance. That can't be good. We already have trouble dealing with these microbes, and they're stimulated. And there's not too many experiments yet on that, but it's indicative that if we do pull this off and bring it and encase the Earth with these frequencies, we're headed for environmental collapse in many ways. So we really need to see this position paper, this impact report done. And there is growing health and environmental concerns. I'm not the only scientist talking about this. There really are a lot of us who are coming forward, who've reviewed the literature, and who are tearing our hair out at the lack of environmental impact reports that have been produced to date on 5G. This is an international 5G appeal launched by more than 231 by now. Scientists and MDs, it's www.5gappeal.eu. And there's a moratorium on 5G in various parts of the world. In Brussels, the mayor of Brussels made a public statement, said, it's not proven safe, it's not going in Brussels. Parts of Switzerland, certain cantons that have just made a vote on this, said, we're not getting it now. It's off limits for now until proven safe. And parts of Rome and Germany, and I already told you, I went and lectured in Italy, and the Italian government will make this an issue on their upcoming election coming up soon. So we have a number of federal lawsuits on the books now trying to stop 5G. The Santa Fe Alliance for Public Health and Safety in November 21st, 2018. These things are still in progress. There are many cities across the country that are suing the federal government for various reasons, jurisdiction issues, or the fast track and no time to review. Mill Valley, California, San Jose, California, and there are others. And those lawsuits are in various stages of litigation. I haven't followed up on them. One thing I did learn about was that the Native Americans came together and under a certain tribe, then they, representing all the native bands of Indians in our country, they won in a district court of appeals in D.C. They won, and they will keep their sacred lands from getting any antennas based on two laws, the National Environment Policy Act and a national historic act whereby their lands are historic and special, and that doesn't mean they're casinos, but they're sacred lands, will be exempt from the antennas. That was a lawsuit recently won, August 2019. That doesn't mean it wouldn't go to the Supreme Court, but so far so good. So, and there are other things, and maybe some of you who are activists can bring them out during our discussion time. So there's an international appeal to stop 5G in Earth and on space, and here's the 5GSpaceAppeal.org. And by the way, this website also has one of the best reviews of the environmental and health effects, with all of the references, citations and references, extremely well documented, like any professionally written scientific or health medicine paper. So as of November 6th, last I looked, 172,395 signatures from people in 204 countries and territories, including 4,500 scientists, 8,000 engineers, and over 22,000 medical doctors and other healthcare workers. So that's enormous, and I'm pleased to see, and you can go there and sign it as well. Everybody should sign it. Let me mention that there are some very extreme views on 5G. Some people wonder, how did this get so far, and what's really going on behind the scenes, that this has come to be mandated quickly, et cetera. These are the views of some groups. I bring them to you. There are websites associated with them. Some believe that 5G is about total surveillance. It's through all of the devices that we use, all of our appliances, et cetera. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. They will know exactly what you are and what you're doing, as if they don't know a lot already from your Wi-Fi and your cell phone, but this is the ultimate in surveillance in terms of all the energy that you use and when you use it and how many minutes, etc. It's reminiscent of China's total surveillance state, where they have not only the Wi-Fi, they're using their phones to make all purchases. I didn't see any evidence of coinage or bills in China, even though I got some bills to function in China. People are using only cell phones, and they've got this thing wrapped around their neck on a special cord, and it's constantly in use, and they have battery backup chargers and things plugging in all the time. So facial recognition software, the works, there it is, and we're headed, I think, in some ways toward something similar. Some hypothesize that this is about artificial intelligence takeover, and that's an interesting view. Stephen Hawking said that AI could spell the end of the human race. He said that before he passed. So it's possible. I mean, this is more about artificial intelligence and control of robots and machine-to-machine intelligence, really. Because when you get the Internet of Things, that's what you're talking about, machine-to-machine intelligence. And I can imagine the robots that are going to be rolled out in about 5 to 10 years will be operating on 5G, if not subsequent Gs. So, and some say this is a depopulation agenda. When we look at the effects that we can predict on humans as well as plants and animals on Earth, it's what it looks like, according to some. And there's a website, you can watch videos on this. And some are targeted individuals whereby they say, this may be related to more of the same. And these people claim that they are receiving some kind of directed energy weapon and is playing havoc with their minds, with their health, pain syndromes. And it's really hard to understand this, but I can say this, that back in the 1970s, it was shown by Dr. Alan Fry, a biophysicist, that direct stimulation of the temporal lobes, which are right underneath your ears, by microwaves, with modulation of those waves, can make people experience the feeling of voices in their heads, so-called microwave hearing. When, of course, microwaves don't stimulate your ears, only sound does, only within a certain narrow range. He stimulated the hearing of waves directly through the brain. So if that is so, well, then there's a possibility for how some of these things may be. The next on this list is the directed energy weapon. So I already mentioned the 95 gigahertz used by the military in crowd control. So we can only imagine what may be used here in the future. And this is the top of the line here, the extinction level event. And if you're interested in reviewing that, I suggest you watch a documentary that's freely available online called The 5G Apocalypse, The Extinction Event. This is a documentary by Sasha Stone, and he interviews a lot of people and puts together quite a dire picture of what may be involved here. I'm not going to take a stand on those views. You can make up your own mind where you are in that spectrum. But I do believe we're up against something that is totally unhealthy and totally against principles of curatorship as we are humans, curators of planet Earth. Being watchful and healthy curators, watching out for the other species. So the last part of my talk is how to stay healthy, what to do about all of this. So strategies to stay healthy, I'll enumerate them, and then I'm going to give you more detail. Number one, we need to measure the levels in our home and workplace. If we don't know and understand the levels, well, we don't know what we're exposed to, then we don't know really what to do. So this is really the first level of awareness. And you can buy simple meters to do this, and I'll tell you about them. Secondly, then you need to reduce your exposure to wireless. We recognize that these devices are useful. They're not going to go away. And probably 5G will be rolled out in most parts of the world. Maybe not in all versions, and maybe not all those satellites. But I expect a continuing evolution of this wireless technology. And it is useful, but there are problems, and we have to learn how to use them to stay healthy. So we need to reduce our exposure because many people are using these things just too frequently and keeping them on when they don't need them on, and that's a problem. And we need to use protective measures whenever we can, certain shielding that's available, and I'll tell you about some, especially things that are scientifically validated and not just because somebody says so. Stick this sticker on the back of your phone and then you're totally safe. There's a lot of those devices out there and they scare me, frankly, because they give people the false sense of security that they're safe when I don't see the evidence why they're safe. Grounding yourself, what does that mean? I'll show you what earthing is all about. And you could also replace your wireless router with a wired one. And if you'd like instructions on how to do that, I can send them to you. It's a complicated procedure. But you could go back to what's called the Ethernet DSL. That was the earlier version before we had Wi-Fi. You may remember it. It's like a fat telephone cable and it plugged in. And really, it's quick and fast and safe, and people can't hack it. With wireless, you're always susceptible to hackers into your wireless system. With wired, you're always safe. So here's the meter that I recommend, but it's only good through certain low frequencies of 5G. It covers 2G, 3G, and 4G, and a little bit of 5G, the first few rollouts, because they're going to roll out the lower frequencies first and then up to the higher frequencies. And it's called the Cornet ED88T Plus. And it's about $180. It's handheld. And it also gives you, in this little LCD screen here, you can see about a minute of activity of those pulses. You get a sense of the pulsation in your environment to which you can never adapt. Besides, you get values. And you can go back to that chart that I showed you, and you can see where you stand. If you'd like me to send you that chart, I can do that as well. Or I'll make it available on my website, even better. We're going to be making a 5G meter. We're already in the progress of this, so that people, it would be the people's meter, because the military meter costs $150,000, and sure, you can rent it for $1,000 a month. But I suggest we get a people's meter out there so people can measure their exposure. And this will have a different frequency band, so you know whether what you've got in terms of 2G through 5G. That will be useful. So we need to reduce our exposure to wireless, and we should adopt the precautionary principle and prudent avoidance. So whenever we're not using these devices, turn them off. In other words, the single most important thing you can do is to put your cell phone on airplane mode when you're not using it. Airplane mode is better than turning your phone off. In addition, you need to turn the Wi-Fi off and the Bluetooth off, or any other wireless functions it may have. And then your phone is like a brick. In other words, it doesn't emit anything. Then you can safely put it in your pocket, wherever. But it's not going to ring or ding or anything. However, the minute you turn it on, you'll receive the calls and the texts that you missed while it was in airplane mode, so it's fine. And in other words, then you have it on, you can quickly do your texting, your short calls, but don't leave it on. Then when you're done, put it back, turning off those functions. That's the single most important thing you can do. And by the way, it still remains in the era of 5G. The single most important thing you can do is control your own appliances, your cell phones, your Wi-Fi routers, your appliances, other wireless appliances, by turning them off or modulating your use of them down to minimal. So it's better to use a computer that's wired than a tablet or a cell phone. You could do your finances on this instead in your emailing. And if it's wired, then it's safer. You can even figure out a way to wire your cell phone to your computer so that you're not using the wireless function on it. There's a way to use the cell phone actually wired via a cord to your computer. So you should also eliminate those landlines that are wireless, so-called DECT phones, digital electronic cell phones that have satellites and one way maybe a little wired, but then the rest of them are all in wireless bases. These things emit even more radiation than smartphones from our studies, all of them. So we've also developed a way to lobotomize, I joke when I say that, to take off the Wi-Fi from your DECT phones. There's a procedure to do that. If you're interested in it, then you can email me and I'll email it to you. How to rescue your landline that may be a DECT phone, converting it to a wired phone. All the satellites will be useless, but you can use the main phone in a wired fashion. And as I told you, I eliminated my wireless mouse and wireless keyboard, and I eliminated my symptoms. I suggest you do this for your desktops, for your workstations, and other wired technology whenever possible. I wish we had an option. As cars get older, I would like to buy an analog car, but there are none. You know, my older cars are wearing out, and I'm looking around. Where do I find a car that doesn't have all of these bells and whistles of Wi-Fi and computers? And it's impossible, but I hope in the future somebody takes it upon themselves to offer a car for those who want one that's analog, because after all, we are analog beings. Now, there are certain protective devices and measures that you can use. Shielding, putting something in a metal cage shields it, protects the radio waves from coming at you. But of course, it renders it like a brick. But if you shield your environment, for example, by painting a room with shielded paint, then you should never bring a wireless device in that room, because then it's going to bounce off the walls at an ever stronger dose and reach you. Similarly, you shouldn't sit in the car and make phone calls. You shouldn't use it at length in the car, because it bounces off the metal of the car and is enhancing the strength of the signal. There are certain protective devices. I'm going to show you a couple that I personally studied and published on. There's one website, it's not mine, but it's one of them that is a larger selection of devices that claim to be protective devices, and certainly the shielding is. I don't know how good it is, but they sell things like shielded clothing, and it's www.lessemf.com. And here are some of these devices that you can buy at that website. You can buy a cap if you want to shield your brain. You can buy travel ponchos that are Mylar, or tents with Mylar. And Mylar, of course, is a metal aluminum in the plastic, so that's blocking the rays, or some of them at least. And then you can buy special mosquito netting for your bed that's made out of metal instead of just threads, and that will block radiation in your sleeping place. You can also buy clothing. Here's a hoodie with silver threads in the fabric that will block some, at least, of the radiation. And people who have electrosensitivity, some of them swear by this. Some of them say they felt instantly better putting on such garments or using such nettings around their bed. So they seem to work for some. In China, we found that there were aprons for pregnant women, although this was not recommended by the government per se. We did later find out that they were available, and they shield the fetus all the way around with a pretty sturdy heavy metal under that plastic apron, and that's a good thing to protect the developing fetus. And I studied a couple of pendants that work not by blocking the energy of the device, which would render it useless, but instead by boosting the energy field of the human, by strengthening the life force within us. And one of them is called the Q-Link, over here, containing a technology called sympathetic resonance technology. This is a passive device, there's no batteries, and it's operating by principles of subtle energy that aren't really well understood, but are the subject of many of these types of devices. This is one I can vouch for because there were studies at all levels on psychological stress of people exposed to EMF, electromagnetic fields that is, and cellular stress of organisms, stress of animals, etc. Across all of the levels of organization in biology, we found protection. Quantum field technology is less studied, but it's a device out of Hong Kong. Ames Kuechi Pendant 3 is the name of that device. So another study I did in recent years was on a cell phone app. This app no longer exists because of marketing pressures and issues, but it gave me great hope that we may be able to discover positive frequencies among all of these frequencies in the electromagnetic spectrum that may actually be beneficial to life. In other words, in this case, it improved heart rate variability, which said that autonomic balance is improved. That is, the balance of the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, meaning that the stress response is reduced. When people simply turn on this app on their cell phone and it was passively running in the background. So basically, it was bringing a frequency into the cell phone when it was in active use that was protective. And it was highly significant, P less than 0.001, with 20 subjects under both conditions. And it was probably the first randomized controlled trial to show that specific frequencies broadcast over the internet can be bioactive in a positive way. So I feel, I'm sad that this company has fallen down. It didn't do well in marketing. And you know, every day new apps come out and shadow the old apps. And pretty soon you've got zillions of apps out there. And people can't find your app. And if you don't have a big marketing muscle, there goes your app. It's kind of unknown. So that's what happened. And hopefully this will come back in another form in the future. But it shows me that one way around this whole problem is that we might choose more beneficial frequencies to operate our wireless devices or embed them in our wireless devices, and that would solve some of the health and environmental stress. So as I said, there are many purported protected devices, and buyer beware, because most of them are marketed without adequate study, in my opinion. I don't see a peer-reviewed scientific paper in a health journal published by an independent scientist, then I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't spend my money because it's really not proven with just one or two cases on a website. I actually looked at several devices after I developed my blood bioassay, what I just showed you, and I found partial protection from some devices. I never found full protection from any device. So people who are sticking these little things on the backs of their phone and saying, I've got full protection, I can do this, I'm sorry, I don't believe it, and I hope you are, but I doubt it. So buyer beware. And we really could use funding to do comparative studies for what we might use to protect ourselves. In other words, we want to find out what are the best devices out there. And maybe they work synergistically. If we use this one in combination with this one, maybe we can help better protect ourselves. So that's the idea, but I haven't found funding to do that. We're hoping to raise that money. It needs to happen. It's not enough to just study devices in isolation by single companies, but rather to compare them and know what works, because we face a huge public health problem. This is nothing small, and this needs to be seriously addressed in a large-scale fashion. There are some other protective measures you can make. Opt out of a smart meter. Most states allow you to do this. For a long time in California, they made people pay extra money to opt out, both to reinstall the old analog meter or to, because somebody has to come out and read the meter once a month. But you can opt out, I think. And some states are not even allowing smart meters, from what I heard, because our experience was so devastating in California. We had a slew of electrosensitive people. right after the installation, I had a bunch of clients who were desperate, wondering what to do. They couldn't sleep in their homes. They couldn't work anymore. They were suffering pain syndromes and headaches. And I could believe them because I could turn an on and off a cell phone unbeknownst to them, and they would start crying in pain. I could see that they were suffering. So if you have that problem too, you could do more drastic things like turning off your electric power at night. The refrigerator will still stay well, and so will the freezer. You could also have your Wi-Fi router on a timer and have it turn off at night. That's a good partial solution. And I certainly think that children should not use the wireless devices. We have seen enough with developing organisms and with brainwave studies and with learning disabled children in our midst that we should be banning Wi-Fi in schools, as they did in preschools in France. They already took this upon themselves. And with baby monitors, using only the wired versions. Earthing is another thing you can do, and this is a very healthy thing. I highly recommend whether you're using any wireless device or not, and that is to get barefoot and in the soil or the grass or the sand. And or you can actually use technology that will help you get grounded, which has metallic threads in it and connects to the third the plug outlet of ground, or you can send it out the window and really put a real ground rod into the earth. When people get grounded, there are studies showing better sleep, less pain, reduced stress, and improve immune function. So here's a real thing you can do. And if you can't get outside, you can buy these devices, and there are websites on them, and there are even earthing shoes, because our shoes are also isolated from Earth. But Earth is rich in electrons, and that's what we lack. We're getting electron depleted in our environments of artificial synthetics and shoes that insulate us. So we can buy shoes that have connections like that for each toe to touch the earth, or sometimes the connecting thing in kidney one, acupuncture point on the shoe. And we can get hoodies with cords that go to earthing. And so this is a viable solution. There's at least one paper that I read that showed very good results with EMF stress on humans who get earthed or grounded. Harry Jabs, my partner, and I have a hypothesis that this challenge at this pivotal time in history is really one of a spiritual challenge for humanity. And we think that cultivating a higher personal vibration, a state of positive affect of love and joy and gratitude, as opposed to negative emotions, may help offset some of the negative health effects from electromagnetic fields, and especially wireless. And this means to cultivate an enduring state of love and joy. It's so important for our health, and known well by positive psychologists who study the effects of positive affect on health. It's been shown in numerous studies that people who cultivate such positive affect get over their diseases more readily, and they actually maintain health where there are issues, where others are falling. So I suggest this is another way we can do it, and it's really a spiritual approach. We also have developed a detector at our laboratory that we call it a subtle energy detector. We set about to detect the life force, the chi, the prana, and I think we got something that does that. In addition, it seems to respond positively to these positive states of love and joy in the moment. So it's an emotional detector that's dynamic. So every second it takes a data point, and whether it's going up or down, we can see whether someone's mood and relaxation and love and joy is increasing, or whether they're having a conversation maybe that's stressing them and causing fear or anger or hostility, and then we watch the needle go down on our charts. So we can actually test then whether people are in a state of enduring positive affect, and I believe this will render people more resilient to the ravages of 5G frequencies, but that remains to be seen. It's just a hypothesis. So there's a picture of our sensor suite with subtle energy detectors, and we have a lot of detectors there. We look at the environment, we look at alpha, beta, gamma emission, we look at the Earth's magnetic field, we look at temperature, humidity, we look at galvanic skin response, we look at other things, and then we have the subtle energy sensors, and people try to influence them, and they can. And these sensors are totally isolated from all conventional energies and Faraday cages, and no magnetic field or electric field can penetrate, or thermal field. And they're totally isolated. So there is something more that the human being exudes, and it seems to be related to this realm of spirit, this realm of love and joy and gratitude. So in conclusion, the radiation from wireless technology poses hazards to our health, and we're all at risk, no matter if you're electrosensitive or not, we're all at risk. These are real stressors. They work at many levels of organization and living systems, from atomic, molecular, up through the behavioral and performance levels. We can expect 5G to be more hazardous than 4G or 3G because it will be so extensive, because it involves so many frequencies and much higher frequencies that have more activity on life forms. So we need to take personal action. We need to practice enhanced self-care. We could choose to meditate to raise our vibration. We could choose to pray. We could choose protective devices that have solid research behind them. But we do need to reduce our wireless exposure, I think, and to use proven protective measures to improve our overall well-being. And I'd like to read to you a quotation by Rudolf Steiner. I suppose you know who he was. And he was a prophet well ahead of his times, amazing man who brought in spiritual to the scientific together, and many things, applications in agriculture and education. So he lived between 1861 and 1925, an era where electricity was rolled out in the form of electric lighting. Here's what he wrote about electricity. "We must be quite clear about this. In the days when there were no electric currents, when there were no electric wires buzzing in the air, it was easier to be human. In those days, those aromatic forces, those are the forces that tend to bring people down to the mechanistic or mechanical, materialistic level. In those days, these aromatic forces were not there, constantly robbing us of our body, even when we are awake. It wasn't necessary then for people to make such efforts in order to approach the spirit. That is why it is necessary today to muster far stronger spiritual forces, merely to remain human, than it was 100 years ago. And this was said 100 years ago to us." So it's 200 years that he's talking about. So a lot of the world has changed. And it's interesting to note, you know, the effects of electricity on life, how we can stay up late, how we get away from natural rhythms of the planet and the sun.
That was the second part of Beverly Rubik's presentation speaking about 5G and the health impacts of microwave radiation. We now hear part of an In Other News collage of past guests and speakers addressing the health impacts of microwave radiation and 5G. And then the past guest was saying that another argument I think government agencies make and corporations make is that they're millimeter waves, especially for 5G, and they will only penetrate millimeters of the skin. But this professor said, no, there is the magnetic element of the electromagnetic field, and that goes all the way through the body. And one example he gave was a case in Switzerland where there were calves in a field around cellular towers, and the calves were being born with cataracts. The microwaves went all the way through the body, not just the millimeter. And he was pointing that out as there will be a serious problem with 5G.
Yep, and the other serious problem for those of us who would like to stop it is these industries are considered too big to fail. You know, they have the power right now, not us. So then the solution will be people starting to wear foil hats and stuff. I mean, actually good, you know, I'm sure they'll have Faraday cage clothing that you can wear to try to block out some of it. And then do you put it on your child or do you try to move out? Or, I mean, there's already a law that says that you're not allowed to contest a cell phone tower based on health.
That's in the Telecommunications Act.
So there are lots and lots of questions about it, but in general,
the idea that you've got lots of what they call small cell antennas, which doesn't mean they're low intensity things at all. These are going to use a lot of energy so that you've got enough stuff that can actually penetrate into our houses and be picked up and, you know, by our devices. That's the whole idea of this thing. And what that means is that we are going to be exposed to extremely high levels of this, particularly when we're outside and we don't have any protection at all. So that's the first thing. And, of course, you know, when you're talking about putting this into space, it means that every single organism on Earth will be exposed to this stuff. Okay, so that's the first thing. So because these are highly absorbed, and the absorption generally involves the interaction with electrically charged groups, and because the way in which the VGCCs are activated is through the interaction with electrically charged groups, we have reason to think that 5G EMFs will be particularly active for that reason, because they're going to interact with these charged groups very heavily. The second thing is that they're going to be very highly pulsed, and as I say, that's highly problematic as well. You know, so all the prediction is that this is going to be really, really horrendous for both of those reasons. The plan is to put out tens of millions of these antennae without doing one single biological safety test. That's the plan that's been approved by the Congress, by the FCC, by agencies in a number of other countries, and it's totally insane, in my judgment. It's crazy. We need to go into something else here that's important for people to understand. One of the things the industry has claimed is that 5G will be absorbed largely in the outer millimeter or two of our bodies, and therefore it won't affect us very deeply. Okay? That's what they're claiming. That statement is both true and untrue, and I'll explain why I say that. EMFs are made up of both electrical parts and magnetic parts. And what's been known for decades is that the electrical parts tend to be absorbed relatively easily. It's probably true that the electrical parts of the 5G EMFs will not penetrate very far, but the magnetic parts are very highly penetrating. And what's been shown in the case of microwaves, so the industry claims this will only go in about a millimeter, and they've been claiming that the microwaves only go in about a centimeter, and we know that the microwave claims are wrong. And the most dramatic studies that show they're wrong were the studies that were published by Professor Hessig and his colleagues in Switzerland, who showed that pregnant cattle grazing near a cell phone tower in Switzerland produced high numbers of calves with cataracts, newborn calves with cataracts. So what that means is that the microwave radiation from cell phone tower is very highly penetrating, which the industry claims it can't possibly be. And so you have to raise two questions. One is, okay, how do the magnetic fields work? And I think the way they work is the following, that the magnetic fields, you know, they're highly penetrating. When they penetrate into the body, what do? They put forces on charged groups, on ions that are dissolved in the water in our bodies. And when they do that, they move them. And when they do that, they regenerate the electrical parts of the EMFs. Same frequency, same pulsation pattern, just much lower intensity. But what turns out to be the case, and this is something we haven't talked about, it's also very important, is that the structure that's involved in the activation of the VGCCs, it's a structure called the voltage sensor, has extremely strong forces put on it by these electrical parts of the EMFs. The forces on the voltage sensor has 20 charges, not one. The charges occur in the fatty part of the plasma membrane. Because of that, the forces on those charges are about 120 times higher because of what's called Coulomb's law. Because of the effect of the what's called a dielectric constant. they're about 3,000 times higher because of the high electrical resistance of the plasma membrane, which means that the forces are highly amplified right across the plasma membrane. So for that reason, you multiply 20 times 120 times 3,000, you get 7.2 million. The forces on the voltage sensor are approximately, and this is approximation, these are not precise numbers, approximately 7.2 million times stronger than the forces on singly electrically charged groups in the water, in the aqueous parts of our bodies. So that means that you have really extraordinarily strong forces on these, and you don't need very much. You know, you only need an extraordinarily weak EMF to do this. So I think that what's going to happen with 5G is pretty much the same thing that happens with these microwave frequencies, and that is you'll regenerate the electrical parts, and then you're going to get effects deeply within the body, and that the industry claims that you won't get effects are wrong. Now, let me just say, if you have a doubt about this, what should we be doing? What we should be doing is biological safety testing, and that's exactly what we're not doing.
Yeah, so when they do that, when they say, okay, you're not allowed to protest based on health, who gets a law like that passed and how? Right? That's because we're not in control of government, because government is really in the hands of corporatists at this point. You know, and in some ways, I mean, you know, in some ways, a dysfunctional government owned by criminals who steal the money intended for the agency is better than an agency that makes laws that are designed to hurt people. So if the agency is a bad actor, then I'm almost at the place where I don't mind them to be dysfunctional.
I hear you, because you're thinking about this and you have children, right?
Right.
So what are you thinking about? The 5G thing is coming pretty quickly, like a year from now, the so-called 20,000 satellites in orbit to be
I have really morbid thoughts. I think things like, it's better for her to have had these 14 great years of life and experience and wonder than not to have lived at all.
Because the FCC and the Congress and other bodies have said, hey, we don't need to do this stuff. Now, this is insanity beyond belief. This is totally insane.
It is very insane. I agree with you, because it seems that they're avoiding doing this testing because the market will fall apart when there's a consensus about the harmful effects of EMF. And so when the curtain is pulled back, people would realize the harm that would occur. So instead of doing that, it almost seems like an extermination plan to me.
Well, I think that's what will happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to regret bringing her into this world. And I'm, rather than bemoaning the future that she might be moving into, I want to celebrate and sanctify the experience that she's gotten to have.
In terms of Team Human, do you see people coming together to stop the worst of it?
People coming together would stop the worst of it. Now, that's the whole point of Team Human. You know, you could say the other team, you know, we're talking about, what's the other team? Let's call it Team RF or whatever, Team EMF. That's a good one. I mean, because then what is it? It's people on the earth with their baby cows that have the cataracts gathering together and saying, look at our baby cows. They have cataracts. Now our babies are going to get cataracts too. I mean, what did we do to this place? You know, what did we do? And I mean, gosh, the impact of humans on all the other species is just, I mean, it's so criminal. And I know, I do get in conversations with environmentalists who say, you know, why are you supporting Team Human? Team Humans are the ones that screwed this whole thing up. Humans don't deserve a place. And it's like, yes and no. You know, I get that we did that, but we're alive too.
You know, we can become extinct in something like 5 to 7 years based on impacts on our brain function and reproductive function. What happens when you increase that rate by a factor of 10 or 100, you know, it'll be almost instantaneous. Let me just say one other thing about this. You know, the The HESIC studies in Switzerland were done. Switzerland has safety guidelines that are 100 times more stringent than ours. So the cell phone tower that, you know, they, these cattle were exposed to were, by our standards, very low intensities. And they still have worked very deeply in these cattle to affect the fetus. You know, there are so many things that argue that what we're doing is just absolutely and totally insane. It's just beyond belief that we could even think about doing these things.
You know, we're alive too, and not all the humans did this. You know, a select group of humans, the same ones who were the feudal lords in the medieval times, who were the mean kings in the Renaissance times, are now these kind of robber baron capitalists in modern times. People who are spending 10 or 20% of their money on bomb shelters, on survivalist camps to go live in. People who are asking me, instead of how do I make a better digital future, people who are asking me, should I put my fallout shelter in New Zealand or Alaska? Who want to know, how do I maintain control of my security force after the apocalypse? They're betting on the bad thing. They've given up. So screw them.
5G and cell phones operate off of what is called millimeter wave technology, which affects the skin particularly. So the concern is, with increasing the amount of these towers that are going to be everywhere, small cells, you know, they say they might be as big as a backpack or as big as a fridge, and having them literally littered throughout the city, we don't know what it's going to do. You know, we haven't conclusively found, you know, cancer, for example, but we have found, okay, there's some causal links there, for example, that should be looked at further. But it doesn't seem to be happening. Houston, of course, is proud to be number one, and we're rushing forward. As far as I know, there's been no hearings for the people of Houston. There was no discussion. When I asked the mayor and I asked the CEO of Verizon if they looked into this, both of them told me they were unaware of any studies related to health effects of this. When I asked the mayor and I asked the CEO of Verizon if they looked into this, both of them told me they were unaware of any studies related to health effects of this. As I said, I've emailed this to you guys because I want you to be aware. I live in this city and we're all going to have to deal with the results of this. But it's gotten enough attention now that, what I was saying before my time was up, is that Project Censored has named an article by The Nation that was published earlier this year called How Big Wireless Convinced the U.S. That Cell Phones and Wi-Fi Are Safe, that looks at these studies. They've named that their number four top censored story of 2018.
Every minute that you spend with another person is a minute you're not buying and selling. It's a minute you're not online. It's a minute you're not being trained by an algorithm. It's a minute that you're restoring your innate capacity for compassion, for intelligence. It's the way that you build a collective mind and establish the rapport and solidarity necessary to actually fight this battle.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.